Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Well, once again, I invite you to join us here for the next 30 minutes for the Redemption Time broadcast. This is Brother Larry Knowles, and I am thrilled to be here with you this morning and to be able to share with you some thoughts from God's precious Word. Let me give you my church announcements, and then we'll get right into today's broadcast, still continuing our study in Christ as the Rock. We've been in this thing about 7 weeks and expect to continue today, and might be able to wind it up today. I'm not sure. But anyway, I appreciate each one of you that's here, and trust that the Lord will bless you for making the effort to listen to the broadcast today. There at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Tennessee, where Brother Rick Smeltzer is the pastor, we begin our Sunday school at 9:45 on Sunday morning. Our morning worship starts at 10:45. Our evening service on Sunday begins at 6. And on Wednesday, we begin at 7. We'll give you an invitation to come and be in any of these services that you could. I know God will bless you and make it worth your effort to come. We're just an old-fashioned Baptist church. We love the Lord, love the Word of God, love our pastor, and love each other. And we invite you to come. And let us love you too. Well, now let's have a song, and then I'll be back with today's message.
I'm
Well, that's the group Dumplin Valley out of Morristown, Tennessee. And we had these folks at our church last Sunday for our annual homecoming service. And my, how they'll bless your heart. I would recommend them very highly if you have a need for a group to come to your church. Then I would certainly call on these folks. They'd be easy to find on the web. And just look for them there in Morristown. And I know that you'll be blessed by having them in your church. Well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer now. Our Lord, we thank you for this day and for the opportunity to be back on the radio with this group of people today that's listening. Thank you for Lord Jesus Christ that went to the cross and died in our place. Gave us, Lord, the right and the privilege. It's not a right, it's a privilege to be called children of God. Thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness and your long-suffering. Lord, I pray today that as we begin this broadcast, that you will take it and use it from the very beginning, that it might be a means of bringing honor, praise, and glory to your name. Lord, if there's one out there listening today that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that you'll speak to that heart today. And, Lord, bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ before it is too late. Lord, I pray for those that are sick, for those that are discouraged, for those that are facing storms. And, Lord, we ask you to keep them safe till the storm passes by. Lord, we pray for those that are sick and suffering today from all these different things. Never heard of so many things in my life before. People are being stricken with things every day. And it's just so tragic. And Lord, I do know that you're still able to sustain and to heal and to help. Pray, Lord, that you'll do that. Lord, go with us now. Use the broadcast for your honor, praise, and glory. And bless the heart of some soul that's your saint today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we'll look at another aspect of Christ as the stone or as the rock, as is depicted in so many places throughout the Bible. And one of the great types of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he is the stone. I always like to go back to our springboard scripture, the reason that we are doing this, as we thought about what this says, and then began to study and to research the different places where Christ is referred to as a stone and different places where the stones are referred to. Verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So we find that the Bible clearly states that Christ was that rock that they so often had to go to for water in the desert. And what I have found in my life is he's been the rock that I've had to go to for so many things in my life, and he's always been there and strong as a rock, steady, always there, and always able to do that which I needed. And then I'm not going to recount all of the different aspects we've looked at. I may do that on the last one of these series. But we've looked at several things. Last week, we're looking at the rock of stumbling. How that the Jews, when he came, they did not understand. They rejected him. And therefore, today, they are in the situation that they've been in for hundreds of thousands of years. And we'll continue that way until the Lord returns and puts them back in their rightful place. So then not only that, but we said that the rock of stumbling, Christ is where so many people stumble, as far as believing what you have to do to be saved. So many people think that being morally good, doing good things, will get you into heaven. But it takes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to our heart through grace and faith in His work that gets us into heaven, and anything short of that will not make it, friend. And then today we want to talk about how that He is the smiting stone. Now, we've already discussed and mentioned several times how that He was the smitten stone. He was smitten of God. He, there on the cross, He was smitten, and sin was laid upon Him, and He died carrying that weight of our sin, and He was smitten of God so that sin was atoned for, sin was paid for, the debt was paid in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only that, and He was, when He came the first time, He came as a meek and lowly person, described as a lamb. But I want to tell you, friends, when He comes the next time, it will not be that way. He will be a smiting stone. He will be a mighty warrior. He'll ride in on a white horse, and with the only weapon that He will fight with will be His word, and He will put down the rule of wicked men on this earth. So let's go then and look at what we're talking about, a smiting stone. Well, all of this begins way back in Daniel chapter 2. If you're familiar with Daniel's situation, you know that he was a young man when Nebuchadnezzar went in and conquered Jerusalem and took captive so many of the young princes, among whom was Daniel and his three companions. They were given Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was not their Jewish name. Their Jewish names all glorified Jehovah God. But these Babylonian names glorified their gods. And yet, that's what they were called in Babylon. And so, we do know that Nebuchadnezzar, over a period of time, recognized that these young men were some men who could be useful in his kingdom, and so he had them taken apart separately and had them given different food, although Daniel and his three companions refused it, and they just stayed with their simple diet that did not violate God's law. And so there came a time that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And when he awoke the next morning, he could not remember his dream. So he called together all of his prophets, so-called, and his seers and his magicians. And he told them, he said, "I want to know what this dream means." So they proceeded to say, "Okay, you tell us the dream, and we'll tell you what it means." And he said, "Yep, I knew you'd try to pull that trick. For you see, I can't remember the dream. Now, I want you to tell me what the dream was and give me the interpretation of it." Well, immediately they told him, they said, "King, nobody, no man can do that." Well, they were right. No man could. And yet there was a man who knew a God who could. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar decided that he would just kill them all. And Daniel had been placed in that same category. So Daniel and his companions would have been slain with the ones that could not interpret that king's dream. He was going to kill them all. So, when it came that they were told all of this, Daniel said, "Tell the king, give me a little time, and I'll tell him the interpretation." So Daniel and his three companions began to pray and ask God for the interpretation. And we do know that God revealed all of that to Daniel, and Daniel was taken before the king. And we begin in Daniel chapter 2, verse 31, and we want to read you the account of that dream. He said, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." So this was the dream that Nebuchadnezzar, a Babylonian king, God had given him this dream. Now, it might not seem like much, but what God gave Nebuchadnezzar was an outline of the entire history of the world from his day till the day Jesus comes back. And those different parts that he described, the gold and the silver and the brass and then the iron, each one of those was a metal of lesser value than the one before it. And basically what he's talking about was the gold was Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian kingdom. They were conquered by the Medes and the Persians, which were the silver, while although still great, they were not quite the powerhouse that Babylon was. Then there was Alexander the Great, the Greeks. And then last of all, there was the Roman Empire. And Roman Empire, when they got down to the feet, those 10 toes representing the 10 regions that made up the old Roman Empire, the iron got mixed with clay, which made it brittle and not so durable. And we find that in the midst of all of this, a stone fell upon that image, and all of those different ones were broken up and mingled. What does all of this mean? Well, let's just read on and find out. Verse number 36. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory, and wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all of these shall it break in pieces and bruise." Now that's a description of the old Roman Empire. They were the most brutal, the most bloodthirsty, the most cruel kingdom that ever ruled this earth. If you study the book of Ezra, Esther, and Nehemiah, you'll find that the Persian kings were actually pretty compassionate towards Israel. And because of them, Israel was allowed to go back and rebuild the temple and Jerusalem. But as you go on down, you find that there it talks about this one's busting in pieces and subduing and bruising. I mean, the Romans were just so cruel. They were the ones who it is given credit for inventing the execution method of crucifixion, which is by far the most cruel and awful death that anyone can die. It is slow. It's not meant to kill you. It's meant to make you suffer. And you have a choice when you're on that cross of suffering the pain of putting the pressure on that those feet where the nails are to relieve the pressure on your arms enough to get a breath of air, but you can't hold it. And therefore, you're constantly up and down on that cross trying to get another breath of air to stay alive. That's why they have to break their legs. When they're ready for them to die, as in the case of when Jesus was crucified, the next day was a holy day, and they wanted them down off the cross, so they went and broke the legs of the two men that were with him so that they would go ahead and die. But when they checked him, he had already commended his spirit into the hands of his Father. But they were the ones that are given credit for coming up with that. Now, there were forms of it used before them, but nothing quite exactly the same and not quite as cruel. They were masters at cruelty. And I remind you that that was the last kingdom that was mentioned by this dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. Why? Well, because if you study the book of Revelation, you'll find that in the last days, that old Roman Empire, those countries will be revived, and they will turn against Israel, and they will seek to destroy Israel. Does any of this sound familiar to you? Is anybody paying any attention to what's going on in Israel and Gaza today? What I'm reading you is fresher than tomorrow's headlines and the outline, the outcome, pardon me, regardless of what the world thinks, and regardless of what governments think, and regardless of the powerhouses in this world that try, they are not going to stamp out the nation of Israel because they're God's chosen people. God has made them some promises that have not yet come true, and they will not be destroyed until God decides to put them back in their rightful place. So you can just bet on that. And friend, let me tell you, let me just stop here long enough to say this, that if you're not ready to go, I believe that the trumpet is right. I believe that the angel already has the trumpet to his lips. And we're one note away from the church and the Holy Ghost being gone. And those left behind who have rejected the gospel will not have another opportunity to be saved. If you're not saved today, you're living on the edge of eternal hell, because when that happens, there'll be no more chances for you. But as we go on, then it went on to say, verse number 41, "And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And as we go on down, we find that Daniel saw, out of all of this, back up in on the dream, and verse number 35, it said, "And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Daniel saw a stone that fell on this image and broke it to pieces, and then that stone grew into a mountain that filled the entire world. Jesus is that smiting stone. Jesus will smite the enemies of God, the enemies of Israel. And do not make a mistake. Those two are the same. Enemies of Israel are enemies of God. And because that they have sided against him, they will be broken. And this will be the end of the Gentile rule over this earth. The Gentiles have been the ruling factor in this world ever since Nebuchadnezzar took Jerusalem. But when this smiting stone comes, that'll be the end of that. And after that, Jesus himself will be the ruling factor. He will set up his kingdom. That's what he's talking about, the stone filling the entire earth. And he will rule in righteousness and in justice and in mercy after that judgment has fallen upon the wicked. All the judgments will be passed over, be done. Judgment seat of Christ will be the first one. That's where the saints who are saved, when we're taken out at the rapture, we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account of our stewardship and how we have conducted our life as a Christian. And then there will be several others. There will be the judgment of the nations. Those nations that have sided against Israel will be judged. And then there's the great white throne judgment, which will be the judgment of the lost. And friend, at that great white judgment, great white throne, you will stand before God and answer the question, why did you not believe in me? Friend, we're on the verge of the rapture. Besides that, we're in a violent world where people are being killed every day. Disease is taking people out every day. Do you know the Lord? What would you go if you died today? Bless you until next week.